Welcome to the Expansive Podcast. My name is Eric. I was on my phone this morning, and John, I didn't even send this to you, but I found a memory from Facebook. It's probably one of my favorite things about Facebook is that memory feature that it has. And I found a memory of 2019. I was going to send it to you. I'll still send it. John Sane, Eric Kruger's podcast hits number one on SA iTunes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's 2019,
7 November.
Yeah, I was in Copenhagen.
Yes, you were in Copenhagen. November. And yeah. So the reason I bring this up is because we've been doing this podcast for 6 years. Talk about longevity. And for the entire 6 years. In the podcast world. And for the entire 6 years, it's been myself and my good friend and ever elegant co-host, John Sane, finding himself in Brazil today. It's been 6 years, bro.
Congratulations for putting up with me for 6 years. Jeez.
It's been a challenge. Yeah. But it's been good.
It has been. It's a challenge to be with myself, let alone other people having to deal with me. I always congratulate my teams. It's like, look, I'm a good guy most of the times. When I tip. So thanks for staying with me past those tips, you know. I appreciate it.
Listen, but it's pretty cool to think that the next milestone would be 10 years. I mean, that's...
You know, it's so funny. You think to yourself, the last 6 years, we've been recording pretty much the same way, on almost the same type of MacBook, on the same... it's almost the same. I just think over the next 4 years, let's say, to 10, my God, it's going to change. Oh, my God, it's going to change dramatically. And look, we think it's going to change. I mean, everything's pointing to the reason it's going to change with AI agents, with fakes, with digital twins. I mean, I don't even know where this will be. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, bro. I'm having fun. We'll stop it when we stop having fun.
But I think that's been the key, dude, is, you know, because I was thinking, what would I say to someone who wants, because, you know, if you don't know the podcasting world, most podcasts don't make it past 20 episodes. So that is sort of the failure rate for most pods. And obviously we are way past that. We are now onto 260s. We're moving into that range now. And the number one thing I would say to them, you know, because we've been on an incredibly interesting journey, going down many different paths and rabbit holes with the pod. But the number one thing is you have to just have fun. Like, you have to enjoy the process. But also, I think having a co-host is a huge competitive advantage in the space, because it's someone who keeps you accountable, but it also just makes the pod a lot more interesting and fun. You know, like we've said this often, like the banter and the few jabs that we get to have here and there, but also just the energy that comes from two people getting together who know each other well. It's a different dynamic than you having to get onto this every week and do it on your own.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the longevity comes from the conversation. But I also think something that's amazing about our relationship is we'll set these things up and you won't be feeling it, or I won't be feeling it. And half an hour before, we're like, guy, I'm not feeling it, bro. You're like, no problem. Let's reschedule. And that's always been the scenario, is we've been very adaptable to the process of behind the scenes, which is also key. Because you also can't be a prima donna about it, right? So you're like, okay, yeah, no problem. I can feel you're not feeling it. No problem. Let's keep moving. And if we miss a week, we miss a week. You know, we carry on going. So, and also I think my favorite thing has been not measuring the success of the pod. I got to be honest. I feel zero pressure. And I think I've applied that same principle to my life. It's just no pressure. I just don't care. I just don't want to compare. I don't care. I just want to be doing what makes me having fun. I watched the interview with that guy. I've forgotten his name. Big white beard.
Rick Rubin.
He always goes to bear. Rick Rubin. And he was saying something that I absolutely loved. But he was talking about art. And I related it to business. And I made a LinkedIn post about it. But what he was saying is, you don't make art for the audience. You make art for yourself. And when you make art for yourself, the audience has the best experience of your art. And what you realize is that all these Marvel movies that are made are not based on the art. They're based on what they think people will like. And when you start doing things based on what you think people will like, it has no energy. It's very mental and logical as an energy. There's no part in it. And I think that when it comes to the part in anything that we do, you've got to be doing it for yourself. That level of creativity, when you're doing it for yourself without the judgment of others, without feeling what others might judge you, oh, just relaxes you into the creativity. It relaxes you into just having fun with it. And so the constructs of having fun are also important to create for yourself rather than just pretending you're just doing it for yourself. Really start to create that sort of environment for yourself. And then you allow the universe to do whatever it needs to with that sort of information. And the right people arrive when they're supposed to arrive.
You know?
Yeah, it's great.
Man. Yeah, and I love what you're saying about the no measurement thing, because that's been a big part of the journey that we've been on. There was a time when we were pedantic about the measurement and like all the time checking the stats. I don't know when was the last time you've like seen any stats.
I don't want to know.
Exactly.
I don't care.
But it's
I get nervous that you're going to tell me.
No, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you.
I don't want to know. Yeah.
But it's also kind of weird. Like for most people, they'll go, well, what's the point? Like, why are you doing it if you're not measuring the ROI that comes off the back of it? Or if you're not measuring the growth that it's bringing into the ecosystem?
I don't care. I literally don't care because I really don't care because it's almost, you know, we did this podcast years ago, Goals Are Dead, Systems Are Alive, right? And it was about fitness, for example. And I think I was mocking my old self and everybody else who lives in Johannesburg that goes on holiday to December and then does everything in their power to look great for December. Then they get lean and they get ready for the beach. And I see this whenever I'm in Cape Town, I can see the Joburgers arriving. And guess what? I used to be one. So I know the process. But what a ridiculous way to live your life. Because the truth is you create a system that allows the constant best version of yourself, whether you're on holiday or whether you're not on holiday, it just doesn't matter. It's for you. And so, you know, when you get cities that are all about that bling bling on the outside, they just lose that soul. And a big part of Dubai has that. Granted, I know Dubai has that. But also a big part of Dubai doesn't have that. And so it's really about that idea. You're doing it for yourself more than anything else. And to be honest with you, my favorite part of this part is chatting to you because it's a great conversation. You listen really well. You always got points that are different to mine. You do. You really do. You know, the art of listening is terrible for most people, including myself, you know? And so, yeah, it's a very fun thing. And then once in a while, you get a customer coming up or somebody coming up to you and mentioning it. And that's just an extra bonus of it. But other than that, conversations with my mates it's a great bonus. Conversation with your mates is such a important aspect of our lives as men, you know, is having brothers. It's like just talking shit and just like, you know, hanging out with brothers. It's such an important thing, you know.
I think actually it's a great point because you almost need ritual, because when life gets very busy, it's so easy to just start living past each other. And I was with friends over the weekend who I studied with. Like, so when I studied physio, I had a group of about four girls who were like really close friends. Because in my entire group, there were only two men in the class. Like physio we were about 50 and two of us, well, actually there were three men, rest all women.
Was the third guy gay? Is that why you said there were only two men initially? Are you being...
He actually passed away.
Oh, so my, shit.
Yeah,
sorry.
So in my that mind, joke went bad. I was like...
sorry. Bless you, soul. Sorry. Wow, that went left field. That went left field. Jeez. Okay. Bloody hell.
You would laugh at this, don't worry.
Okay, good.
So, yes, we were a very, like, tight-knit group of friends. And then post-varsity, I haven't kept in touch with any of them because we got busy. We started living our lives in different ways. And it wasn't by anyone's fault that we grew apart. Like, it wasn't that that we weren't interested in each other's lives anymore or anything like that. It's just that you get busy. And so it's actually nice to also have rituals that connect you to people. And I realized that even with some of my best friends that I've had over the years, the moment there's separation and you aren't in the same geographic or in the same ritual where you're playing paddle together or things like that, you lose it very quickly. So actually having some sort of ritual, even like this pod that connects us, you know, it's a great thing to incorporate, I think. Probably more important now than ever before.
I agree. And I've made a concerted effort to reach out to my friends more often. I saw something the other day that I thought was really good. taking into account the word ritual. And the post was about being spiritual, and it's the ritual of spirit. And to become spiritual, you need to ritualize your connection to your spirit. And so you just don't all of a sudden arrive and be spiritual. You have to do practices to connect more and more with your spirit. And I thought that the idea of spirituality linked in with rituality or the ritual is really, really such a point that many of us take for granted and expect things to kind of happen when they're supposed to happen without having any ritual in place. But I know you are as well, but I am and if you ask my closest friends, they'll tell you, I am a dogmatic about my rituals. I am very, very structured in the way that I live my life. And that allows me freedom. You know, it allows me to build what I've built through that ritual. So spiritual, friendship rituals, fitness rituals. I imagine you have marriage rituals where you know, the things that you have to do. And
yeah.
Yeah, of course. You have all
those rituals. Well, if you think of it, you know, so when we were building the memory candle business, it was entirely built around this idea that rituals are a very deeply meaningful thing in our lives and that it contributes way more than just the action of it. So it was very recently, it was Días de los Muertos, Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead, Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
Look at you with your Mexican. Look at you, one tour of Mexico. And amigo Pedro Errico. Okay, you go, boy. So, yes, amigo.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, and yes. Well, listen, when we were in Mexico for the tour, like one of the main things that I picked up from there was this ritual of like the Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
And it's such a, their relationship with death is so different than
very different
most of us have.
Yeah.
But the beautiful thing is that during this piece, like this period, the understanding is that spirits come and visit you again and you have to prepare the space for them. So usually it's a table that is, it's called a friender, and it is decorated with their favorite things, favorite foods, favorite
drinks.
That's
right, favorite foods. That's right. I saw that all outside the houses. Like, you know, they like this food.
Well, outside
like
the houses, it's huge. But they also do it for dogs, dude, or
that's
for
right.
pets.
Yeah, yeah.
And so this year, we built an ofrenda for Axel inside the house.
Mm.
And we like put down the, what is it called again? You know, there's those sort of colorful balls, like it's in a string that they hang up. It has a name for it, Dan will remember. But we had his picture on his, like resting on his ashes. We had the memory candle, his collar. When we were in Mexico on the way back, it was around Christmas time. And Dan walked up to a Christmas tree that had all these decorations on it that you can buy. And she walked up to this one bulb thing that she wanted to get that like drew her attention. And when she picked it off, it said Axel on it.
Oh,
and she was like, no way.
No way.
I got it. So she bought it. So we had that with it.
Oh.
And then like
talk about a sign from the universe.
Foods. Yeah. Crazy, eh? One of his favorite foods was McDonald's cheeseburgers. So, so I went and I bought two cheeseburgers.
Not a spoiled dog.
Yeah.
Not a privileged dog. You know, he really likes the steak medium rare from our steakhouse. You know, and it has to be kudu. He doesn't like beef. Yeah.
So we built him a friend with the whole shebang this year, like, and it was so amazing, dude. Like, it made me realize the importance of ritual beyond just the activity of it, and it does really make you feel connected to something more meaningful.
Yeah, so beautiful.
So it was great. Yeah,
My heart feels so open. This morning, I got a message from a friend, and she sent me the mission of that brand called Chummies. You know, it's a Cape Town-based brand that they create like high-end.
Yeah, we have some of their collars.
Yeah. And she said to me, this reminds me of you when I read their mission statement. I said, do you want to know how weird this is? Because do you know who set up Chummies? Was the guy I co-parented Superdog with. So when I got Superdog, obviously it was with my marriage. And when my marriage ended, she abandoned Superdog, which was actually a biggest gift that she could give me because he became my boy. And we spent the next few years together. But then when my travel started to pick up, I had to find somebody to help me look after him. And I was going hiking a lot with this guy called Zach. And when I started putting up on socials, like, I need a solution. Can anybody help me? He's like, I love Superdog and Superdog loves me. So there's already a familiarity. And then he took on Superdog and then we shared Superdog between me and him. And then he got a girlfriend and him and his girlfriend set up Chommies. And no way. She sent it to me and what? I was like, you won't believe what you just sent me is just Superdog continuously in my life on all different types of levels and different places where he reminds me that he's around me. That's
amazing, man.
And I remember when I first moved to Dubai, there was a dog in our building called Spikey, not Hikey. He looked just like Hikey, but his name was Spikey. And I became such good friends with Spikey. And I spent 6 months with Spikey, walking him. And so, yeah, you know, and being in Leblon, I'm in Rio at the moment. And I'm staying in an area called Leblon. And there are dogs everywhere. Like everywhere you go, there's dogs on the beach. There's dogs on the streets. There's dogs in the restaurants, dogs in the grocery stores, dogs in the shopping centers, dogs, 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 dogs. It's unbelievable. And what I'm loving about this place so much is that they are so connected to their dogs. It's just unbelievable. You know, I judge an area or a city based on their relationship with dogs a lot, you know, and to see the kindness and to see how engaged they are. And you know, I find that Ipanema and Leblon are right next to each other. Next to Copacabana is like a bit rough. When I was in Rio 15 years ago, I got held up in Copacabana. So I was in Copacabana for 2-3 days for the conference, and then I moved myself to Leblon and this area. And what it reminds me of is Porto. And Porto is like North Portugal, and it's a very family-orientated, sports-orientated beach lifestyle. And I'm staying in this hotel on the beach, and I was up this morning at 5 o'clock, and bro, people are setting up, not volleyball, foot volley. They call it foot volley, right? So it's volleyball with your feet, right?
Mm.
Let me tell you, by 6:30, there must have been 600 people on the beach playing foot volley, trainers, gym setting up, music happening, dogs walking. I mean, at 6:30, the place was jamming. And I was like, the reason I think that this is could be better than Cape Town is only because that the beach is so part of the city that the city and the beach are almost, they're not disconnected. Whereas in Cape Town, you think like Camps Bay is kind of on it, but it's very small. Clifton's far away from the city. You don't actually even see it. Where this is so integrated into it. And then you have the bonus of Portuguese people. And Portuguese people have made, I'm not kidding, because I'm not talking about how beautiful the women are, because my God.
I was going to say, are you referencing just the woman or are you generalizing?
No, I've fallen in love 18 times an hour. It is just unbelievable, the beauty and just the relaxedness of them. And you know, the Portuguese culture has made Portugal one of my favorite cities in the world. They're just so chilled, man. They're just so chilled, the Poras. And I had lots of Pora friends growing up, and I can vouch that this is just the way they are. And the Brazil's got that. It's got that samba, Portugal energy, love for dogs, just out and about. People are everywhere. And the areas I'm living in here are pretty safe. They're not too bad. And I'm just thinking to myself, my God, this is what people feel like when they move to Cape Town, right? When you first come to Cape Town, you're like, oh my God, I need to move here. And I mean, no disrespect to Cape Town. I love Cape Town, but I've lived there for many, many years, so I know it well. But I'm walking around here. I'm like, could I buy an apartment here? What would that – I'm like playing that game like everybody who moves to Cape Town. What would it cost me to live here? How many months of the year could I be here?
Yeah,
it's been fantastic. Wow, and the food. Oh, my God. The food is just next level. You know, I've been going to this restaurant called The Clan, and I went there, I don't know, 4 days ago, and then I tested out – one or two other restaurants. And okay, so I thought to myself, I'm just going to go back to The Clan. So I've been back to The Clan 3 times. Yesterday, I'm sitting there on the bar of The Clan having a burger or whatever. And I look across and I'm like, it's a Michelin star restaurant. I had no idea. There was a sign of a Michelin star it won Michelin star last year and this year. And I was like, damn, I got good taste. I didn't realize how good my taste was. So really, really good. I'm loving it here. It's so good. I'm sad to be leaving in 2 days, but it's fantastic.
So next is Dr. Joe, eh?
Yeah, next it's to Mexico, and obviously that's a very, very special pilgrimage for me. Talk about ritual, going into that ritual with nobody knowing what Dr. Joe's going to do, because Dr. Joe, and I've spoken to some of these people, no idea, no agenda, I love that about these teachers. No agenda. We don't know. We're just going to let it flow. We're going to let 2,500 people, we're just going to let it flow, let Joe do what he has to do. And I don't know if you saw, it's been going quite mad on socials. He's now been published in a new science magazine or science paper about the power of meditation. And they've done all the blind test studies from the University of San Diego. And they show you all the immunity rises, probiotics in your tummy rises, de-aging rises. All these things happen after 1 week of meditation. And now it's gone public. And I'm so happy for him because I think he's been called a kook for so long that he's so feeling so justified in what he's bringing to the world. And I just read the comments and you can't believe the comments. Read the comments on his posts. People are talking about what's happened to their families because of meditation. What people are talking about what's happened to their sickness because, and people, the love that he has, people that people are showing him, like hundreds, if not thousands of comments of love, 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 love. And I'm just so happy for him that he's tipped. It's tipped into, okay, this is real stuff.
Some vindication.
Yeah. Yeah.
On that same note, did you see Brian Johnson did a hero's dose of mushrooms over the weekend?
What? Yeah, I saw it, but I didn't read it. So what did he say?
Yeah,
what did he
say? So for those who don't know, Brian Johnson is the, I think he's close to a like billionaire status, but he's not quite there. But he sold his company for lots and lots of money. And now he's doing this human blueprint thing where he's trying to figure out how to de-age essentially. And he's done some crazy things like injecting his son's blood into his own body. And like he's essentially like just a guinea pig for all things longevity. You know, he's tried everything. And one of the things he's just recently shown was sauna, because he says he's tried so many things and so many weird things, but he hasn't done some of the most basic things, like, for example, like saunaing. And he did this protocol with sauna where he would do 200 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's about 100 degrees Celsius, so very, very hot. 20 minutes, 5 times a week. And they measured his cardiovascular system in terms of its expansion. And then they measured toxins. They measured fertility, like all the markers. And after 3 weeks, all markers were up. All markers improved. And he said there's nothing that he's done that has detoxified his body to the same extent that sauna has. So really interesting. So, you know, and he's very meticulous about his measurements. Wait, let me think.
Who else saunas every day? Who is that? Oh, that's me.
But do you do 100 degrees Celsius?
No, come on, 100%. No, bro, that's blood. Blood will boil. I don't understand 100 degrees. Are you joking?
200 degrees Fahrenheit. That is the protocol. That is the finished protocol for it.
Can I tell you something? I've been in a sauna at 90 degrees. I lasted 3 minutes. There was no way. It felt like a nuclear bomb was hitting me, bro.
So I was looking at, in the video, he mentions that, you know, sauna comes from the Finnish. In Finland, there are 5 million Finnish and there are 3 million saunas.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you know, they do socializing in saunas. They invite people over. They cook food in their saunas and they chill in their saunas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, but it's not as hot. So the whole family's in there. Okay. Everybody's chilled. Yeah, they do a lot of socializing around their saunas. But yes, okay, carry on. So saunas, yeah?
So he was saying that it's so hot in there that he has to have a hot pack on his head to cool his head.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Also for his junk. So like he had to protect both.
Yes, 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 yes.
And then this week I saw he did this 5 grams of mushrooms, of psilocybin. Yes. Yes. He did it in a legal setting with a facilitator and the whole thing, but it's quite funny because he sits there with his co-founder in the Human Blueprint project and he's like, okay, I'm going to take this 5 grams and then she's going to take over my Instagram for the rest of the day. And then she's like live streaming or like live documenting his journey. And at some point he's lying there on his side and he's holding a water bottle. And you can see he's just like looking at this water bottle and it's just the most amazing thing to him in the world.
Yeah.
And then he took a few days to sort of gather his thoughts. And he just said, like, it's changed his life.
Of course.
Like you would think it would. And that the experience was just one of feeling extreme bliss. He was so aware of his joints and his heart and just like his human experience. And it made him more aware of death and this journey that he's on, and how it in a way kind of vindicated his journey that he's going on, and that it was a incredible experience. He didn't share like, you know, very deep things that came out of it.
Okay.
No.
He will in time.
But he
maybe.
Said how, I think so. Yeah. But he did say how incredible the experience for him was, and how hyper acute he became of its existence.
Oh, so beautiful. I also read at Dr. Joe's results was the brain of a heavy meditator is the same as somebody on psilocybin. It's the same brain.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah,
so that's also part of their study that's come out. So psilocybin and meditation. I mean, I've done psilocybin and breath work and psilocybin and meditation. And it's a hell of a trip. Eh? You really do connect with yourself.
Yeah, sorry. Because while he was doing it, they also put him on like this helmet that has all these sensors inside of it. So I think he's going to publish all of that information as well at some point.
I just want to remind everybody, and I think the most valuable lesson I've got from any one of those ceremonies that I've done, and I've done many, is soften towards yourself. Just soften towards yourself, hug yourself, love yourself, accept your idiosyncrasies. This is who you are. And that's really released me of any self-judgment, you know, and any angst that I had about who I am, what I do, and how I go about living my life. And since releasing that and softening to myself, and that was the last time I did the ceremony, such a blissful existence when you soften towards yourself.
When was the last time?
I think a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't had the calling. It's the weirdest thing, you know. People invite me to ayahuasca ceremonies, mushroom ceremonies. I just don't have the calling anymore. It's just nothing inside me saying go. And
Do you think it's having done enough of them, or do you think it's also the fact that you've become really good at meditating, or really, I think saying like you're good at meditating is a weird thing, but I think saying that, because it's always like it's an ongoing practice that you never really master, right? But you've become very disciplined in your meditation, like you do it very often. So do you think that has replaced?
I think you have different tool sets depending on where you are in the process of evolution. And I also think that you have different callings depending on what's calling you. And I think that what mushrooms and ayahuasca do is they help you break through. And once you've broken through, now you have different tool sets because you don't need to keep breaking through. And you also don't need to continuously heal yourself. And I think what people, and definitely I did as well, I got caught up in the process of continuously doing something that was there to help me evolve. And now I've gotten to the point 15 years later and say, okay, I've done it. It's done. And also, I think more importantly is become very, very sensitive to what calls you. Don't do what your friends are doing. Don't go where other people say it's cool to go. Go where you think you should be going. And I think that level of sensitivity to what's calling you will allow you to steer and make better decisions around it. And when I first started doing these psychedelics, I used to really tell a lot of people about them and tell them, you must do it. Now I'm like, no, you don't must do it. If it calls you, great. If you feel you don't feel like doing it, don't do it. But remember that your ego is going to play tricks on you and going to tell you you don't really need it because you're fine at the moment. That's just a trick. You need to get past that aspect of it. But look at you. Look how much you've changed since you started the process. And to be honest with you, I mean, I bugged you for years to do it. And I kept telling you, you know, your next level of evolution is not going to come from your head. It's going to come from your heart.
I was trying to quickly find something while you were talking because something he wrote kind of mimicked what you just said. He had a level of awareness that he couldn't have had at a conscious level.
That's right.
Only the mushrooms could have revealed. The psilocybin could have revealed. And I think that is, that's the trick to it is that, yes, you can. And I've often found that the more I try and think my way out of something, it's like the tighter my brain becomes. It feels like, literally feels like I'm taking a cloth and I'm like wringing it like this. And when you do psilocybin, it's the total opposite experience. It feels like it's a complete like unringing of it and it gets unfolded, you know, and you get to explore like the space of it.
That's beautifully said.
He said something similar.
I also think that what happens is your nervous system relaxes when you do psilocybin. And if you think of way psilocybin is connected under the earth, have you seen any of those pictures? It's thousands of different routes that are all connected. And then think about what your nervous system is. It's this, it's almost like a mushroom on top of your head, and then all of its roots right throughout your system, right? And then what happens is when you take the psilocybin, it relaxes all those roots. And those roots are go right throughout your body. And so you access more body intelligence, you access more brain intelligence, heart intelligence. Why? Because your nervous system is moving all that information up and down, just like the root system of psilocybin does. And so the similarity between what it's doing in your head and what it's doing in the ground is almost identical in a way, and just helping that movement of information become more fluid. Yeah, it's so beautiful.
While we on the topic of self-development, and completely the opposite to what we've been speaking about, I've been using, I mentioned this to you, I've been using Claude recently as a coach, and it has been, it's been pretty transformational. Like I've done it now for about 3 weeks and it's been really transformational, but I think it's because of the way that I've set it up. Yeah. I want us to do a session on like where I want to outline exactly how I've gone about setting it up. I don't want to do that right now, but I want to just mention that one of the biggest challenges I find in coaching is that people often don't feel like they have a space to decompress. And you don't want to like always be decompressing with your friends or with your spouse or whoever it may be. Like I know by now, like because Danica's available to me 24/7 in the house, she's the one who has to bear the brunt of all my thoughts and all the brainstorms and all the new ideas. And like this thing just closed and this thing is happening, you know, and it's not really the conversation I want to be having with her all the time. And so one of the biggest benefits of having AI actually fill that role, I still think having a human coach is really important. But what's been great about this AI coach is that I get a daily check-in with it. And it almost takes the need away from me to go and have that same conversation with Danica later. So I think it's actually been amazing just from like giving me a space to check in and check out of every day.
Amazing.
So what this process has been like is that I set it up initially with like some goals and how I want it to interact with me. And then it's in the morning, I check in and we talk about the action points for the day and the different areas of my business. I go through my day, I do them. And at night I check out and we go through what has been done, not been done. And then every day it comes up with additional actions that I think I could take based on the goals that I've set for myself. And so it's been this like beautiful blend of accountability, coaching, and brainstorming that has literally resulted. I mean, like I'm going to say literally resulted here. It's not like those actions all contributed to this, but like this past week, dude, I've closed 3 keynotes, 4 kickoff sessions for January, and 2 team coaching clients for 2026. And a big part of that has been the focus that has come from these conversations.
Love it.
So I think it's really interesting. I think AI can play an incredible role in terms of like coaching. I don't think it's yet going to like replace human coaches because it's just the different perspectives that they bring. But as a daily check-in and to like fill a need or a void, I think it's going to be incredible.
2 things on that. I love it. I also played a little bit of that with ChatGPT, but then I never really continued. And I love the fact that you've continued it. 2 things. 1, are you going to set up a new girlfriend next? And what are you going to call her? And then secondly, I do think it's going to replace human coaches. I do think that it's better than human coaches. I do think that there'll be a new role for human coaches to play. I don't know what that new role looks like, but when you tell me about the intricacies and the constant focus on your goals at a cost of 0, I mean, what? How? How as a human coach do you compete against that? Now, I think we obviously have a roadmap, you know, a year or two to go. And in that process of the year or two, we'll find new roles for those human coaches to happen and to work with. And remember that all human coaches come with their own subjective stories and judgments and all that shit where Claude doesn't. And so I do think that,
Sorry, just having said that, I think that's what actually makes it valuable, is that they come with those like – those experiences that they've had?
Yes and no. I find sometimes coaches irritate me because of their lack of maybe, I don't know.
Awareness.
Awareness. And maybe because I've got an evolved, but I like to think I have an evolved level of awareness. But then sometimes coaches don't meet me there. You know what I mean? And then I kind of run out of energy for them. And so maybe once you evolve to a point of your coaches need to change, whereas Claude is growing with you. Anyway, look, I think there'll be other things for people to do. I know you're a coach and it's very difficult to think as a coach, yeah, my job's safe. And most people do that from within their jobs, you know. But I'm so happy. I think our next pod should be absolutely 100% focused on this. How do you set it up?
Yeah.
What's happened? Like that would be really awesome. I would love to learn from it and also start to experiment with it. And the more I watch Elon Musk and the more I see of what's happened with Sam Altman, the less I trust him. Everybody's calling him a liar. Every left, right, and center, people say you can't trust this guy. And so you're like, okay, hang on a second. Maybe I need to jump AI friends, start developing a relationship with one or two others. I heard also Gemini is the best for suggestions of restaurants, anything that you are looking for a tour or a suggestion, use Gemini because it's connected into Google directly.
Google, yeah.
So it's the Google AI.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, so for suggestion to use Gemini, for coaching use Claude. I mean, I don't know, ChatGPT can use, I don't know, strategy maybe. But I think they're all now developing a type of personality that we can start to use them for in their specificity. So interesting. And Grok for anything illegal, porn affiliated, and drugs attached to it. Grok's like, no, and you can talk about anything you want. A friend of mine was traveling and he asked ChatGPT if there was marijuana anywhere near him. And ChatGPT said, we can't give you any illegal information. And then my friend asked Grok and it gave him exactly where to go. So
like, yeah, contact details, WhatsApp numbers.
Yeah. Here's a Telegram account number. Yeah. So Grok has got no, I love that about Grok. It's a gangster.
I stopped using ChatGPT after ChatGPT 5 came out.
No way. Because
immediately I just felt there was something weird happening. Like I had custom parameters set up in the back, but it would give me the weirdest responses. Like it wouldn't make sense at all for what I'm actually trying to get it to do.
Wow.
And then Claude has become just my go-to. In fact, I don't use ChatGPT at all, apart from helping me to describe images. But when it comes to anything else, Claude has been my default go-to.
Interesting.
And it's incredible because it challenges you back. You know, it doesn't just go, yes, you're right.
Is that Anthropic?
What you do.
Is like, that Anthropic?
Challenges
Claude
you.
Anthropic?
Anthropic, yeah.
What a name, Anthropic. It's so sexy.
Anthropic.
Anthropic.
So good.
So good. What does it
so
mean?
So good.
You know what it means? Does it have a meaning?
I don't know.
It's such a cool name. I love it. Yeah. Anthropic. All right, look, the sun is shining.
I think that's the
beach.
Pod,
can you hear it? Can you hear the beach?
Yeah.
Juan, obrigado.
I can hear it's calling you.
Obrigado, obrigado.
Juan.
Yeah. No, Juan is Spanish.
Yeah.
Juan is Portuguese.
Oh, is that? Okay.
Yeah. Juan. Right. Bonap. Okay, man, I don't know any Portuguese. This is embarrassing. Yeah, cool. That was a great pod.
Yeah. It was great. Thank you. And, you know, we didn't actually know where we're going to be starting today's pod, which is part of having done 260 episodes, is that you don't always know exactly where you're going to start and where we're going to end. But as always...
But next week we're going to do a masterclass on the coaching with Claude, eh? I think that'd be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Next week or the week after, depending on... Because you're going to be at Dr. Joe as well. So we'll just see timing-wise how it works out. To everyone who joined in, thank you so much for joining us on this expansive journey. It's always great to be with you. We love having these conversations and we love having you tune in and join in. So if you want to be more part of the conversation, you can also find us on all the socials. You can find John at johnsonny.com. You can find me, erickruger.com. And then everywhere where you can think about... finding us on socials, you'll find us there. So until next time, be expansive.
Ciao.